Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Kelly on WVON AM 1690.
Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I am Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group, and it is Saturday, April 18th, 2020. America's Heroes Group Roundtable with healthcare partner, the Veterans Healthcare Policy Institute. And we have a lot to talk about, and of course, we always want you to call in. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith. Our digital media producer is Manny Corzuri. Hopefully, Manny's, I understand he's doing better. And our digital media producer is Titus Williams. So we are pleased to have on our live line Brett Copeland. Brett Copeland is a VHP Executive Director, Nonprofit Veterans Healthcare Policy Institute, an organization founded by veterans, healthcare providers, and journalists. How are you, Brett?
Thank you so much for having us on today. You know, it's so important to have shows like this that are getting information out with all that's going on in the nation. And we definitely have a lot of ground to cover today in regards to veterans health care and COVID-19, but thanks for what you're doing from Chicago there.
We certainly are happy to have you. Also joining us is Suzanne Gordon, author, Wounds of War co-editor, and Culture and Politics of Healthcare, Work Senior Policy Fellow, Analyst, Veteran Healthcare Policy. And we're happy to have Suzanne. How are you?
Good, Cliff. I hope you're well and safe.
Yes, I feel well and safe.
Good.
I think that's it, hopefully. And also calling in is Jasper Craven, WHPI Policy Fellow, covering issues on local, state, and federal levels that include New York Times, presently focused on military and veterans issues that lobby over veterans' policy. And how are you today?
I'm doing well, Cliff. How are you?
Good, good, good. Thanks to three of you. Listen, there's so much going on. Who wants to start off?
This is not a good time to do that.
Well, I think that, you know, we've seen over the last couple of weeks just how many Americans are becoming unemployed. It's 22 million as of last week, and so many of those folks are veterans. And I think that one of our main concerns over here at VHPI is, you know, are they continuing to get access to health care? Last week in The Hill, we published a piece where we called that all veterans, regardless of their discharge status, as well as their families, be able to go and get care at the VA, just because, you know, the private sector seems to be so over capacity at the moment. And we're very happy to report that the VA has told veterans, regardless of who you are, if you've used the VA before or not, to call in and make an appointment if you have a health care need. So it sounds like at least a little bit the VA is responding, but there is so many people here in need for health care right now.
There certainly is, and it's scaring a lot of people with this. What else are we hearing on this, folks?
Well, I mean, I think that we're, you know, there's going to be a lot of veterans who, because they lose their job, lose their health care, and there will be, when this is all over, or if it's all over, there will be a huge impact because they will be, they also may be losing income and be eligible for health care at the VA because of that. So I think there'll be a big demand on the VA and the Veterans Health Administration, and I think we have to prepare for that. And as Brett said, if they're beginning to have to be covered now, regardless of eligibility criteria, that should extend past the acute phase of the crisis, because maybe they don't get COVID-19, but they will have suffered from, and their families and communities will have suffered from, the financial and economic and social side effects of COVID-19.
I tell you, it's you hear one thing and then you hear something else. It's sort of frightening, isn't it? Jasper, what do you feel on this?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously we're in the midst of a crisis. I think there's also real concern in the VA right now that a lot of fantastic work being done on the state level in coordination with the VA to end veteran homelessness may also slip. Really, in recent months, I mean, there was a lot of good news about the VA essentially ending the veteran homelessness crisis in this country. And, you know, what we're seeing now is that folks are amidst this crisis sort of slipping back, and that the VA is trying and I think doing some good work to ensure that folks remain in their homes. But if, you know, their incomes are drying up, it's quite a challenge.
I want to make sure our callers know the number, because there's a lot of people who have a real problem with this. 312-374-8130. Our governor addresses the people here in Illinois practically every day, and I think, you know, he's doing a good job. The people at the VA here also, I think, are doing, you know, a good job as they can. And so you folks are there. You're really involved. What kind of feedback are you getting, and what do you think is going on?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things we're hearing is that there isn't enough personal protective equipment. There isn't enough for VA workers. There isn't enough testing, and and I think that that's a reflection of the broader society problems in the broader society, because the VA doesn't have its own independent supply. You know, they have some stuff that they've stockpiled, but that's very quickly running out, and then it's dependent on the supply of personal protective equipment. And I think veterans should be emailing and calling the White House and demanding that the president invoke the Defense Production Act, which the Chamber of Commerce opposes because the prices won't be as high. And we need more of everything. And this is a crisis. I mean, the nation's veterans, that Trump, you know, is consistently saying that he's very veteran-centric. And, you know, veterans, 100,000 workers who work for the Veterans Health Administration are veterans. So if you don't have enough personal protective equipment, you're putting veterans at risk.
What do you think, to the three of you, what should be done that's not being done? Or let's go the other way. what's being done that is good.
Well, I think certainly because the VA
identify yourself. I want to make sure everybody say who you are. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure.
Oh, this is Jasper.
Yeah.
Because the VA runs a highly centralized system, they have been able to shift resources fairly quickly to, you know, ramp up care and assistance in hotspots around the country. Already, the VA has opened up 1,500 beds for civilians infected with the coronavirus in some of the hardest hit areas of the country. And, you know, those civilians are receiving high quality care and likely won't have to pay for it. And the VA has the capacity, luckily, to assist in that effort. But, you know, the VA is still not fully funded, fully staffed. And so moving forward, I think, especially as lawmakers likely look to project and push draconian budget cuts, you know, folks really need to make clear that the VA is a vital resource that needs to be strengthened,
yes,
not only for the veteran population, but for civilians should, you know, additional emergencies pop up, which they almost certainly will.
Yeah, there's some things. I'm sorry, somebody.
This is Brett. And,
yeah,
you know, last
Brett,
in March, 43,000 positions were lost in the broader U.S. healthcare environment. That's a huge employment drop of folks that we need now more than ever.
Say that again,
that
Brett.
Brett,
I'm sorry. I missed that. I missed the beginning, you said. Brett, I'm sorry. Would you say that again, please?
Sure.
Yeah.
So in March, U.S. healthcare employment dropped by 43,000 positions. That is staggering in a moment when we need them now more than ever. But at the VA, they're actually becoming almost more competitive in their surge hiring and making sure that folks are coming into the system. And kind of what Jasper spoke about, because it is one integrated network, they can shift workers around to where they're needed most. And they can also shift patients around if there's more capacity at one facility, whereas if there's an outbreak in another. So. I think that the VA system, there's a lot to learn from it in the broader healthcare system right now.
So I think that that's a really important point that Brett makes. This is Suzanne Gordon. One of the reasons why we're seeing loss of jobs in the healthcare at a time when we need more is that private sector hospitals, which are dependent, you know, they're largely function fee for service. They don't have global budgets, so if they lose revenue, you know, if you aren't performing knee replacement operations or whatever, their response is to furlough staff. And so you have an incredible tragedy going on where hospitals are, let's just take one example, furloughing post-recovery nurses, PACU nurses. They work in after people have surgery, and many of those nurses are former critical care nurses who could be utilized to do critical care. But if you have a dip in revenue and you have no global budget, then you're going to furlough them rather than use them wisely, and that's not true in the VA. They haven't furloughed people. They've brought, as Jasper and Brett said, brought people on because you have a budget. And you get that budget whether people come in for knee replacement operations or not. And this is another advantage of having a national health system.
Well, you know, Suzanne, I just heard today that there were a group of, and I wish I could have gotten the information as to where they were going, but it was a military unit that was going somewhere, but they were being split up. Some were going one place, some were going another. Does that happen a lot? Do you know?
Jasper, do you know? I know that there's just tremendous amounts of problems in the military with social distancing. I mean, we certainly learned about that with the issue of Captain Crozier, but.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure what you're talking about, Cliff. Yeah. Jasper, do
you
know?
I just heard it today. Yeah.
No, I'm not familiar with that issue.
I want to leave. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
This is Brett. I know the Pentagon over the last couple of years has in fact been trying to shrink and almost eliminate a lot of the medical uniform personnel at its military facilities. They were planning to cut 18,000 of them.
That sounded something that would go along with that philosophical concept.
Luckily, that's on pause right now. And, you know, that doesn't only infect uniformed military folks. It affects their families, too, on base.
Sure.
They've been planning, like at the VA, to privatize a lot of that care and push people out into the community. But luckily, right now, that program's on pause. So hopefully that those families will continue to be able to get care on base.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what this really raises is the whole question of the wisdom of VA privatization, military health care privatization, any kind of government privatization, because the private sector just cannot respond effectively to these kind of emergencies. You need coordination. You need planning. And planning is anathema in the private sector system. And this, you know, we have to learn something from this crisis, which is you have to plan ahead. You have to spend money on resources that you may never use and be happy that you spent money on resources that you never use. You know, the only thing in this country that we seem to be happy to spend money on things we don't use is nuclear weapons. We should have the same attitude towards ventilators. You know, we should have many more ventilators than we have bombs. And if we never have to use those ventilators, that's fabulous. We have to have enough nurses and doctors. And actually, unlike ventilators, you can use nurses and doctors and housekeepers and groundskeepers for other things than crises.
I like what you're saying. That makes a whole lot of sense. atom bombs and ventilators. Someone mentioned did you mention the Admiral? I'm trying to think whether anybody mentioned the Admiral and the aircraft carrier. Was that mentioned?
Yeah, Captain Crozier.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is our own. I mean, President Trump is trying to turn this into a Chinese problem. Well, we have that same problem here where his Secretary of the Navy fired a man who had the courage to speak up to defend his sailors, and he was fired, and he's sick. And there's many, many, I don't know what the statistics are, many, many cases of COVID-19 on that aircraft carrier, or nuclear, whatever it was, nuclear aircraft carrier.
You're
and,
right. mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things we have to learn from this is you have to listen to the people at the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, when you're in the battlefield and a private says, stop, there's a mine, you don't fire him. You stop. And here's a, you know, a person of rank, not a private or you know, a corporal or an ensign or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, here's a captain saying, stop, there's a mine. And what do? They fire him. And I think that we have to really learn. And this is happening in the private sector all the time where, you know, nurses and doctors are saying we don't have enough personal protective equipment and they're firing them.
Jasper,
is not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Jasper actually had a great report that came out this week that some of this kind of stuff is happening over at the VA. Those, you know, frontline workers, those heroes who are taking care of these patients aren't necessarily being listened to by the administration. Jasper, I don't know if you want to talk about more of that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it's an apt comparison because, you know, for all intents and purposes, the public sector unions are the voices alerting VA leadership to the mines and challenges and early warning signs as this coronavirus care ramps up. And unfortunately, because the Trump administration has, for the last 3 or 4 years, really leveled a pretty unprecedented attack on these unions, they no longer have the tools to alert folks to issues as they present themselves. So You know, I've been hearing on the ground of obviously, as is endemic in this crisis, issues of PPE that are not being addressed. I've heard of COVID care plans that mm-hmm. don't include proper clinical guidance from nurses who are trying to figure out the best way to refashion their hospital floors to safely deal with this disease. And really what this does in addition to compromising care is creates chaos. You know, folks want clear lines of communication. Any military leader will tell you that's critical to accomplishing a mission. Politicians have continue to compare this crisis to a war, and yet the VA is blinding itself to the voices of those on the front lines.
You folks have been great. Suzanne Gordon, Jasper Craven, Brett Copeland, a lot of great information. And we certainly appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.